Let's go through a list later. Thank you, Chase. Recording in progress. Got it. So as you just heard, the meeting's being recorded, but I'm going to go ahead and go through introductions. So on my screen, I see Karen Kessie, Robert Hostetler, Bob Short, Chase Christensen, Gary, who's Gary Wheeler, Henry T. O'Keefe, Len Wagner, Jeff Winker's iPhone, and a 3696799 number.
That's me.
Oh, that's you. Hi, Chase. And Chase is on. You're so good, you're doing it twice. So, okay, so we, I think we have enough folks to make a quorum. So let's go ahead and open this up to public comment. Item number two, is there any public comment? Okay, hearing none. Last call for public comment. Okay, let's go ahead and move through the agenda. The agenda approval, we need a motion to approve the agenda as listed unless anybody sees anything that we should change.
I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Okay. And I apologize, I'm taking minutes tonight, so there might be some delays as I take notes, everybody.
I'll second.
Moves to approve. Len, that was you that seconded?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Well, let's go ahead and take it to a vote. All in favor of approving the agenda as outlined, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Gary.
I'm sure Gary's text will come through any second that says aye, but if not, I'll let everybody know.
I hear you now. There he is.
Aye, if you can hear me.
I can hear you. Perfect. All right. Gary says aye. It's unanimous. All right. So we have some minutes to approve, don't we, Chase? Some meeting minutes?
Yep. Should be on the screen.
Okay, did anybody have a chance to look through the meeting minutes and notice anything they don't agree with? And these meeting minutes are from our special session, right? Or is this from the regular board meeting?
This is last month's regular board meeting. The only thing is we did make a mistake when we noticed the regular monthly meeting. It should have been December 8th, not the 14th. The regular meeting didn't change. We just made a small grammatical error and it wasn't caught.
The typo. Okay, so yeah. If we move to approve the minutes, then we need to just move to approve them with that correction. Correct. Anything else? I think they looked to me like what we did in our meeting in November. So I will move to approve the minutes with the correction of the date of our monthly board meeting, which is tonight, December 8th.
Eight corrections. Okay, anybody second?
Second.
Gary second, perfect. Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So agenda is approved with, or I'm sorry, the meeting minutes are approved with that small date change, making a note of that, okay? Okay, so I'm gonna try to fly through the president's message. I know that, you know, just based on time constraints and Chase's battery life on his cell phone, I wanna make sure he has plenty of time to go over some of the things that he needs to discuss or he would like to discuss. So president's message for 12-8 on November 22nd. I just want to let everybody know we hosted a meeting with WRLC, who's Western Legal Western Resources Legal Center, I think is what that stands for. And it was mainly to follow up on the letter that they sent us in the spring. Overall, the meeting went well. Gary, Chase, and Jeff Condit and I, we went over the four main areas of concern, which were outlined in the letter. They were the O&M manual, record keeping, infrastructure, and then infrastructure maintenance and pumping. WRLC acknowledged that we've been making some real positive improvements with regards to record keeping and transparency, and also with our operations and maintenance over the past year or so. They were very complimentary of Chase, and they're very appreciative of the way that he's managing the district. They look forward to that continuing. Then we had an SDAO SWOT analysis work session that we participated in a couple weeks ago. For those in the public, I know everybody on the board was there, but for those in the public that don't know, that was a very fruitful meeting. If I felt that it went well. We're going to discuss this in greater detail further down the agenda, so I won't elaborate too much. But overall, for those of you that weren't able to listen or observe the meeting on Teams, it was very productive. Terry and George from SDAO and the board did a really good job brainstorming and organizing a lot of our thoughts and ideas. We were even able to develop a few specific goals. I'm confident that by working with our landowners, the businesses, and our local government partners, we'll be able to prioritize these goals and the next steps and develop plans to accomplish each of them directly and efficiently. And then the only thing, other thing I have is that since we have so much to discuss tonight with regards to some proposed changes to our employee evaluation and compensation process that I'm sure we're all excited to hear about. Before I forget to mention it, I just want to remind everyone, we will not be performing any employee evaluations tonight. We're going to save that for our special meeting, which will happen next Wednesday, December 14th. Any comments, questions, concerns about any of those three items?
I just want to note that the third item that you mentioned about the employee evaluations, that performance review process, it did say in our minutes of last month that we would be conducting that in executive session tonight. So I just want to make folks aware that are listening to the meeting or who will listen to the recording that I believe it was you, Rob, who decided that it would be better if we did that in a special meeting. So, right. So we're going to just want to note that that is a change from what the minutes reflected.
Yeah, that's right. And the main, just so everybody knows too, the main reason for that is that I want to make sure that we get, we have more than, you know, a day, at least a week to discuss some of these changes to that process, which we're going to bring up tonight. And I didn't think that it would be really fair to discuss all the changes in draft form and then roll right into an evaluation. So just want to give ourselves plenty of time to kind of assess the changes and consider them before we move forward with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks for bringing that. I put that on the notes too. So thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Chase, I think that's it for five. Let's go ahead and roll into number six, company financials. Anything stand out in the financials that you want to go over?
I have highlighted a couple things. If you look on your screen, this is the time of year our assessments come in. You can see the two big transactions, one for 143 and one for 110. They usually get processed after, of course, it's with property taxes. So this is kind of the lump sum time of the year. We did have the IFA loan payments. They were due December 1st. They were paid directly through the state pool. The other big bills we got was one was for the mowing. And then we also had Reed Electric completed the work on the Evans pump motor. And even though it's still sitting in their shop waiting for installation, they still billed us for the motor. So those are the big transactions that stand out there. And then the small 6120, that was the misentered transaction last month for Don's rental that I just got corrected. So kind of where we are on that. Janelle had asked for $16,000 from the state pool transfer to cover upcoming bills. After the reports were pulled, we did receive the CRPUD bill for $4,402.70. And today I just received the bill from BCI for the cleaning of the Jackson Creek diversion. That bill was $10,051.59. So it brings us to a total of $30,454.29. I just rounded up to 31,000.
That's the $31,000 transfer from the state pool, Chase. Is that what you're?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, sorry, I'm just trying to make.
That's fine. State
pool account. Okay, got it.
So you need two motions.
Yeah, I think correct? So. We need one to approve the financials and one to approve the transfer, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's do the the first. What? Let's go ahead and approve the financials as presented, or make a motion. Anybody want to make a motion to do that?
Rob, I have a question first.
Sure.
Looking at the assessments, we're about, $100,000 shy of our normal assessment number. If I'm reading this right, we've got 300 and basically 62,000. And they don't we normally have an assessment somewhere in the $400,000 range? Is that just arrearage and stuff that comes in on the following quadrants?
That's a good question. You want to field that one, Chase? I don't know the answer to that.
The approved assessment was for $350,000.
Okay. All right. So we're fine then with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chase.
Yeah.
Good question, Lynn. I learned something new today. I was waiting for it. Perfect. Okay. So do we need a motion to approve the financials. Anybody want to make that motion?
Amanda usually makes it, but I can make it. I move to approve the transaction list as presented.
Excuse me, Karen.
Was that a Gary second?
I started to, but then Len did, but no, I second.
I coughed my way for approval.
Yeah, that was 2A, your second A. All right. Well, Karen made the motion. Gary/Lynn seconded. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. The transaction list is approved. Thank you for that, Chase. And thanks for bird dogging the Don's rental bill. I know it wasn't a substantial amount of money, but I appreciate you doing that.
Okay. So I'm going to make another motion to... what's the correct language? Amanda always says it. Move to approve the state pool transfer of $31,000.
Transfer.
Second.
Gary second. Okay. Karen moved to approve. Gary seconded. Let's all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, it's unanimous. We'll go ahead and approve the transfer of $31,000 from the state pool. And Chase, if you want to text Amanda I don't know if you saw her text earlier, but and just let her know that was approved. She said she can do that remotely if she needs to.
Good catch.
Okay. All right, Chase.
Do we have another, I see another phone number that joined.
Oh, Rob? Yeah. Yep, sorry, let me add that to the list. I see 503-4, what is that?
475-5208.
Okay.
That's me for audio.
Oh, never mind.
Okay,
sorry.
No, you're fine. Okay. You still there, Chase? If you are, we can't hear you.
Sorry, I was on mute.
You're good.
All right. So the Evans pump repairs, as everyone knows, ongoing. As I just stated, Reed Electric completed the motor. Bay Valve has completed repairs of the pump diffuser housing. They actually sent me some pictures. I was trying to get off my phone to share, but didn't have time. There was a little bit of a delay in the procuring of the 416 stainless for the shafting, but that's been resolved. As you're aware, the Cherry pump was flow tested last month. I did get the report back, kind of indicated what I suspected. We lost about 10% of the capacity, mostly due to wear, would be my guess. We did finally receive the Energy Smart rebate from the PUD for the repair we did to the Evans number one and two motor and pump. That was about $2,700. Hoping we can kind of repeat that after the Evans pump repairs are completed. It sounded like when I talked to Christian Miner, who kind of runs the program, that that was going to be very possible. And it's good to keep these in mind because any of the upgrades we do to our infrastructure that saves power most likely will qualify for these rebate programs.
Chase, can I ask you a question about the Cherry number one?
Yes.
So is it due to wear because there's something wrong with it, or is it older, or why is
it? No, it's the only, so that pump station has two pumps in it. Mm-hmm. The pump is automated and the second pump is older and manually operated. And so okay. The number one pump is ran basically all the time. The only time okay. the number two is I just start it up annually to make sure it runs.
I think I remember that from the tour now. Thank you for clarifying.
So we did get the kind of move on. So the Bay Valve, who's been repairing the Evans one pump, has also been analyzing the sump configuration of the Evans pump station. They sent me an email some weeks back that I forwarded to Rob and Gary so they could review it. Initial reports are thinking that the cavitation umbrellas are hurting more than helping the problem. Removing them from the pumps is relatively easy, but as I explained before, getting them out of the pump house is going to be extremely challenging. And so I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure we can, is leave them in the sump, but out of the way of the pumps. And that way we can kind of test this theory. And if it's not true, we can easily reinstall them. But what it boils down to is the water levels we pump at don't meet the minimum requirements for the pumps. And so it's most likely not going to stop the cavitation damage. It'll just slow it down. And moving on, the trees that were talked about by members and us were removed beginning of last month. The weed load at the Johnson finally brought in an excavator to just get the pile of it out of there. There's still quite a bit left, but it definitely helped. The Olson Farm toe drain has been elusive. I kind of basically laid it out how it's supposedly as built, but where the drain actually daylights or the water leaves the system has been extremely difficult to find. I'm hoping this winter we do get a lot of precipitation or possibly the river comes up and stays up for a continued period of time. We can monitor the north toe drain that's out by the north tide gates. If it begins to start to discharge, I'm hoping that we can run over to this toe drain and possibly put some blue dye in the on the ground that maybe it'll enter that toe drain and we can maybe see where it comes out before we just start digging around with an excavator. We basically went around, greased all the motor bearings for all the satellite pumps and the main pumps, just kind of as a start for the winter pumping season. Basically, the pumps maintain their current levels. We're still getting a lot of gravity drainage through the tide gates. The river's been really low for this time of year, so that's helped out. And the Honeyman's off. Duck season, I guess. I guess looking ahead, the Sternberg discharge pipe has got some holes in it. Cal Portland was nice enough to give us some rubber belting that we can hopefully wrap around the pipe and band it on. Crow Water let me borrow their bander, so we should have that fixed tomorrow. Most likely, this pipe's probably got a thinning of the wall. I don't expect this to be a permanent fix for this pipe. We'll most likely have to replace it at some point. I guess to that, the other thing too is I wanted to follow up on some of the riprap by boat and walking. Now that the vegetation's kind of receded and mashed down. The leaves are off the trees, if you will. And so kind of on my plan for the next month or two. And the elusive toe drains, keep going on those. We're going to work on basically non-mechanized removal of some of the small trees so along perimeter levee. I guess for that, we will pause there. Anybody have any questions?
You don't need us to take any actions on any of that, do you?
No.
Okay.
Did you ever get any follow-up from Dean on the toe drain stuff? Did he ever?
I have not. I need to get it. Yeah, I need to get a hold of him.
Well, I asked him to get a hold of you, but it was a while back and I haven't really followed up on it. I just made a note. I'll follow up with him again because I think I sent him your information, but I'll ask him to reach out tomorrow and maybe we can sneak over and try to pick his brain.
Sounds like playing. Like Gary tried to. I'm pretty sure that's Gary's number. It's on here.
Yeah, twice. He's on there with through audio with his phone.
Yeah, I'm using my phone. I'm back on. I dropped out, but now I don't have the video, so just keep going.
Okay. I guess that brings us to the personnel. I have a little bit of background after last year's employee evaluations. I thought it'd be a good time to kind of revisit the employee evaluation forms. I sent a copy out to everybody with some of my suggestions. There was a caveat in there that we would revisit it in 2022 just to make sure we, you know, kept it in our minds. And I did make some revisions. I sent it out to the board. I didn't really get any feedback. And I didn't know if anybody wanted. Let me see if I can stop share this.
I really appreciate how you did it red line style. It makes it really easy to follow what was changed. So it was very well done.
Yep.
So basically page 3 or 4 is the main, update, if you will. I basically tried to just clean the document up. And tried to set a basis, cost of living adjustments. This was more for consistency on, you know, wage, make sure we didn't get any wage discrimination or anything like that. So everybody gets the same COLA. It's determined at the exact same time. It's, you know, consistent across the board. And the other thing is if we do it every January, that gives us a previous full 12 months gives you guys first 12 months to get an average. And using the Bureau of Labor and Statistics Consumer Price Index, West Region Urban Consumers, this is pretty much what all companies use. This is put out by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and so it's pretty standard way to go about adjusting the COLAs. And I put in here, they're eligible after their first full year of employment. If there's any concern with the COLA during the first year, it can always be taken into consideration when we set the original wage. And I got rid of the minimum COLA because there is times that the COLA is zero or actually negative at times. And so if there's another wage increase that the board wants to take into consideration, that can be done through the step. So that kind of allowed a little bit more flexibility. And the other thing is every 2 years, the wage analysis that we originally received from SDAO in 2020, we could do it again. The human resources, we get so many free hours. It only takes them about, I think, an hour to do it. So it'll definitely fall under our free allocation with SDAO, and it would help the board make a good decision regarding wages. And I basically kind of eliminated the phase two for fiscal year 2022, 2023 and beyond, just to kind of clean up the document. I don't know if anybody had any comments. I didn't receive any comments. And then the other thing was to try to narrow down the employee evaluation. Having six options seemed a little confusing and tiring. And so this kind of tightened it up, and it's probably be able to in the future to use these three categories as a quantitative analysis. I haven't thought entirely about that, but it is, I think, an option. And then I just took the field operations tech and the office administrator. I did leave the NA on here because it's only one individual that makes that determination if it's not applicable. And there is some of this stuff that is just not applicable to the employees at the time. So they shouldn't be judged on it, if you will. Did anybody have any questions, comments, input? Hello?
I think you did a good job on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm following along too. I'll go ahead and lead off with a couple comments, Chase. I think, I like I said, I like how you did it, red line style and draft format, so we can see the changes. But I think the COLA is a big deal. I think that that's, as you know, the cost of living change that you're recommending is a good thing. And then I also like how you in here, you highlight the index that we'll be using. It'll be really easy for future boards to just pull that index up and be pretty familiarized with this process now. So that's, you know, a lot of the things that we've been doing as a team the last few months is just trying to, some of the decisions we're making or things we're changing is trying to set up future boards with some guidelines to follow. And this makes it really easy to do that. And then I also like how you added the 1 year after the first year of employment, the person will be eligible, or the employee will be eligible for the COLA. That you're right, that does give you flexibility. So if the board ends up hiring somebody in November, they don't have to turn around, you know, January, a month and a half, 2 months later, and give them a COLA. They could start that person at a higher rate, you know, if they wanted to, and they're not tied into that COLA and having to perform that right away. So that's nice. It keeps it fair for people that are hired in March or people that are hired in June or whenever. So that's also nice. I like how you did that. And then I think the wage analysis thing, the every 2 years, I think is fair. I mean, future boards might want to change that to every year, or, you know, maybe even change it every 5 years or whatever. But as volatile as our market has been and our economy has been the last couple of years, I think that every 2 years for now is probably a good thing. And I think that I just sent the board maybe an hour ago the results of that wage analysis that HR Answers performed. So if we can, I'd like to spend a little bit of time, not tonight, but just in our own time, reviewing the data on that wage analysis so that we have that knowledge before our meeting on the 14th, just so we know that we have a baseline to go off of for the review. That's all I have, Chase. I'll go back on mute.
Chase, I agree with the comments that have come forth so far. My only question would be, as far as limiting the number of categories on the evaluation sheet, I didn't quite understand your text on or comment on that when you said that it made it easier to, I guess, maybe collate. Is that between the different board members so that you can come up with an average on it?
Yes, that was kind of the idea behind it. I think tightening it, especially for the general manager, because it's, you know, essentially reviewed by five different individuals. I think trying to get everybody within a category of six makes it somewhat confusing. And so if we tighten it down to three, it basically, I think it tightens the categories. I don't think it's going to affect the outcome of the performance evaluation, but it at least keep the board members more focused on certain areas.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember working on this last year, tabulating these, and I wasn't convinced that everyone, put it this way, it's hard to calibrate what each of us understands as exceeding expectations or what's outstanding, the difference between unsatisfactory and needing improvement. So I like this, actually. It seems more straightforward. And I would just encourage board members, if I'm remembering this correctly from last year, I would encourage board members, including myself, not to put an X in between two boxes. We need the X to be in a box.
Yeah, good point. And if we we decide, especially in the future too, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of pressed for time this year, but I think, Chase, if I heard you right, you being able to turn these categories, needs improvement, meets expectations or exceeds, being able to turn those into a number and then almost using this to tie this into potential bonuses or tying it into somewhere else, you know, some other increase, or if we're going to tie it into any financial changes, it's going to be really helpful to have this streamlined like you have it. So, because Karen's right, the discretion between not or meet, you know, needs improvement and unsatisfaction, is so much discretion in between those two. Now it's pretty straightforward. So I like how you did it too. So what do we need to do with this draft in order to adopt it? I mean, is there any changes that we need to make, or do we just adopt it as presented, or what's been the past present that we're supposed to follow, Karen?
So this is a better question for Jeff Condit, who unfortunately is not here tonight, but we haven't done that many resolutions for me to really remember exactly what's involved, but this is an item that would be adopted by resolution rather than by a motion. And to tell you the truth, I wish I had looked that up. Now that I'm saying it, I wish I had looked that up prior to the meeting. So I apologize.
I did it. So I did a little search. And
oh, you did? Kinda, okay, good.
Yeah. So this really piqued my question. So what we did, I went back and pulled last year's
great
resolution. So what we did, and this is a blank document, I kind of edited it. It's, we pass a resolution, and this is how the resolution read, is we adopted a policy for employee performance evaluation. We're not really adopting a new policy. We're basically following up as we had intended to do with the originally adopted policy. So I don't think we need a new resolution, because okay, we're not adopting a new employee performance evaluation. I think we just need to pass a motion that, memorializes these changes.
The amend. So if it's like amendments, they're not, I mean, yeah, they are kind of. Like,
yeah.
So do you think amendments can just be passed by a motion and not another resolution? I don't really know. Does anybody on the meeting know?
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I mean, I think as long as we're doing it in good faith, you know, it'll be okay. You know.
Yeah, I don't see any issue. Oh, go ahead, Karen. Sorry.
If we need to make a change, if we need to do a resolution after all, we could do that at the beginning of our special meeting on the 14th too. But I don't know if the issue will be cleared up by then, because council's not back till then. But I think what you say makes sense, Chase. I just don't know the answer for sure. So.
Well, I guess that being said, should we make a motion to adopt the amendments to the employee evaluation or employee performance evaluation as presented?
I think you could say we move to adopt the amendments to resolution number 2022-1 or whatever it is.
the original was 2021-1.
Okay.
I updated this just in case we had to use it.
Sorry. Okay. So yeah, and then hopefully that will suffice.
Where are you seeing the two? What was the number again? I'm sorry.
The original resolution was 2021-1. This was
2021-1. Okay.
Made a new one. It was a PDF, and so I didn't know if we were going to have to update it or not. I was just kind of getting prepared in case we did.
So, gotcha. So do you want me to do that, Rob, or do you want to do it?
Yeah, go ahead. Take a whack at it.
Okay. What did I just say?
I tried to write it down. It was so good.
I move to adopt the amendments to resolution 2021-1 as presented. Does that capture it, you guys?
I feel like it does, yeah.
Okay.
I'll second it. Oh, go ahead, Gary. Gary, second. Yeah. Okay, let's take a vote. All in favor to amend, let's see, so everyone on writing, amend or accept the amendments, approve the amendments to 2021-1 as presented. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Motion passes.
Great. Good work, Chase.
Yeah, that's awesome. It looks so much so much more streamlined the way you have it laid out now. So nicely done.
Thank you. All right. Okay, so moving on, we're 408. Cadman Materials, they had their geological boring guys on site. They were there for, I think it was a couple weeks it was. They even had a barge out in the river. It's pretty actually interesting to watch. Rob and I had actually taken a tour out there that day by chance and saw the guys working in the river, so that was interesting. I did finally hear back from Sophie from Cadman today. I had some follow-up questions with her, who's the new contact for the invoicing, and she said she was, so I got that invoice over to her today. And she also gave me a progress that says they were basically, as regard to the larger 408 permit, they've been focused on the exploratory geological borings, and that's kind of where they've been wrapped. I guess there was a particular in-water work period, I believe, and there were some other regulations around that permit, so they were basically focused on that. And so now I'm guessing it'll probably take them a while to compile that information, whatever that information looks like. And so that's kind of where we stand on that. I did reach out to the city of Scappoose, called Chris Nagelspoth the other day. He has yet to get back to me. Basically no update is for the accreditation, the LOMAR that they're completing, or the stormwater. I haven't seen a draft from the city of Scappoose. I don't even think they've presented one yet. And then as kind of a side note, the day before the last meeting, Columbia County sent me an email and alerted me to the meeting that the Sauvies Island Drainage, Multnomah County, Columbia County, and West were having. I kind of touched on this a little bit in our last meeting, but I wanted to follow up, especially for those that were on the call that were kind of, it was a last minute deal. Multnomah County has created a webpage on their website. I have the address here, and it basically goes through essentially the same process that we're going through. But Multnomah County is really taken kind of grabbing hold of this thing and done the lead on the project, which we would hope Columbia County would do for us. But it's also, there's a lot of information on there, and there was also a recording of the presentation. I think this is something I mean, you don't have to watch it, but there's some information on there that's, you know, going to be pertinent to us as well. So I just wanted to make sure people were aware of that. I guess you could say they're slightly ahead of us as we work through this process. Rob touched on the SWOT analysis. Don't need to go into that. I guess the next thing is mercury. I really haven't gotten anywhere on that yet. That's on my list to do. The other thing is, I guess looking forward, I kind of put the employee handbook on pause to basically move the evaluation kind of up to the top spot just because it's time sensitive. And then next month, be preparing for the field operations tech review. I don't think we need to decide the board member that's going to attend with me today. We could probably do it in the January meeting. And then unless we plan on setting, I guess if I did the review before the next meeting, then the board could set all the wages and stuff too as well.
Chase, question.
Yeah.
Is there any threat, fear, or et cetera, of the mercury basic process causing us to require a filtration process to extract mercuries before it goes into the Columbia system?
There is nothing that I know of. This is basically, as we kind of work through the process, the initial process, and Amanda and I had a meeting with DEQ, and they basically are trying to get people to be aware of what's happening and try to organize kind of their management practices. They call them BMPs, best management practices. And as we work through this, it actually, there really isn't a lot we have to do because we already do the stuff that they're recommending to do. And so that's the, that's kind of where we stand with that. I do have some concerns with the amount of mercury that they're trying to abate. It's really high. It's almost an 88% decrease for our particular region. I don't know how they would ever get to that. And so it's just, it's basically kind of a multi-phased approach. Is like the timber companies are supposed to do TMDL mercury. The farmers are supposed to do TMDL mercury. Most of those are handled through the Department of Forestry for the logging and the hills and trees and stuff. And then the Farm Bureau is more for the agricultural side of stuff. The city of Scappoose had to do a TMDL for their operations, and so did Columbia County. So that's basically, they're trying to get everybody upstream of the Multnomah Channel to change or alter their practices to these best management practices to essentially keep the mercury out of the water is what it is.
Yeah, but isn't the question, part of the question of the mercury, the amount of fertilizer and the processing that the farmers use, and then the subsequent mercury leaks off of the surfaces and then into our system. That's what I, when I did a little research on it, that's what it seemed to me to say, that the ground surface, i.e. groundwater passive processing mercury, is the issue that we really have. And the question is, how do we solve it? The answer is we can't, because we can't stop anybody from using anything that's within their legal right as far as a chemical is concerned.
Yeah, and that's correct. And that's how they basically, this thing is worded. This mercury, Willamette Basin mercury TMDL plan is huge. I think it's like 800 and some pages long. Our little section is only about 20 pages long, kind of stuffed in the middle. But they have basically everybody's wrapped up in this thing, from municipalities to water conveyance districts to water, like, you know, water service districts. And so it's basically across the board trying to get the mercury to not get into the Willamette River. And so our end of it is our best management practices, you know, don't leave open spoils near ditches, pretty much the stuff we already do. You know, don't try to allow as little soil erosion as possible, but the actual footprint of the SDIC in our management area is so small compared to the farmers and everybody else. It's you know, there's only, we can only do a limited amount.
Good. All right. Good. Make me feel better. Thank you.
Well, good questions. Is there anything else, Chase, you want to touch on in the manager's report?
Does anybody want to volunteer to do the field operations tech annual review with me?
I vote for Rob.
You know, I'd be more than happy to. Well, we'll have to ask Amanda. I think she did it last time, right? Make sure she doesn't get mad at me for jumping in on it.
Yeah. No.
But if she if she can't, I'll help out. No problem.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So that was kind of, I mean, there was a lot in that manager's report. Again, very well done. But there was a lot of stuff in there. I don't usually do this, but I mean, is there any public comment? I'd like to just, we got a couple people on the line that, or at least one that I don't recognize. Does anybody from the public have any comment about the manager's report, any questions they'd like answered or anything we can elaborate on? There's a lot of work that happened the last month to be able to concisely put it in a one-page manager's report. Yeah, not hearing any. So, okay, we'll continue on. Was there a rental home on there too, Chase? Did you already talk about that, or Karen?
No, everything seems to be fine. I haven't received rent yet because I'm guessing that is coming soon. It's not quite time yet. As soon as I receive notice that that's been deposited, I'll forward it to Janelle and Chase. I would like to say, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not bringing this up sooner at the work session that we had at the city council. But I do want to say that I think we need to add some kind of a regular maintenance schedule for the house to our, I don't know if that would fit under infrastructure, not really, maybe, I don't know, but somewhere in our goals, I think we need to include some kind of a regular maintenance schedule for the house so that we don't get...
go ahead.
I was just going to complete that statement by saying, so we don't get into the same situation we were in before. The house was, you know, we need to take care of that property. And so, you know, when you own a home, you got to do things, you know, on a regular schedule. So I think we need to develop that.
It's been a long time since I was in the rental game, but I remember when I was renting, I thought we used to have to do periodic inspections almost like quarterly or biannually with the leasing company or so. Do we have anything set up like that with our people?
I will ask her that.
I'm pretty certain Harlow does quarterly and walkthroughs.
That might be, I don't know how thorough they are, if they even do them, but if they do, that'd be a good lead in for kind of a preventative maintenance thing like you're suggesting, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we need to make sure we're doing our end of it. So
good point.
Harlow would probably bring it up, but we also have to do smoke detector inspections and carbon monoxide detector inspections, aside from whatever other maintenance items you might be thinking of. And maybe Harlow does that, I don't know.
I would hope the property management company would kind of be responsible for that.
We should clarify. I'll call her and ask it. Does anybody else have any other questions for me to ask Harlow?
Can you ask her, Karen, if she does do that? Harlow's a she, right? I have never met Harlow, so sorry.
Yes, she's a she.
Okay. Sorry. Can we find out if she walks through with a contractor, or if she just walks through with like a leasing agent or something? I don't know, from my perspective or my history, we used to walk through with a contractor once in a while too, or the leasing folks would bring one. That way they could just kind of, you know, use their expertise to look at certain things. So if she doesn't, then we definitely know a couple. And if she does, then we don't have to worry about it.
Okay. I'm just making a note here. Okay. And what is the next, going back up to the strategic planning, 7FI, what is our next thing we're doing regarding that, please?
So that's a good question. I'll take a whack at it, Chase, but then go ahead and jump in too if you want. So it's really based on my interpretation of, I mean, the question kind of got brought up a little bit at our meeting, but it didn't seem like there was a real firm next step. And so the only next step after the work session was for them to send us out the documents, right? And so I haven't perused through them. I've received them and I've kind of glanced over them, but I haven't really dove into them in detail. But at least in my brain, and I can definitely be convinced otherwise, I was thinking that it would be neat if all the board members could look through that, look through the notes, look through the items. And I'd like to come up with some type of a process, you know, a phase process. So what that would look like would be like, okay, step two is to organize all the goals. Okay, so how do we organize all the goals and list a priority next to them? Well, we solicit the community, and what does that look like? You know, I'd kind of like to define the steps that we need to take as a next step to create that kind of path forward. But I don't think I can, at least I can't really do anything further until I look through those notes and then we have another conversation about it. I think Chase and I were going to hook up next week, either maybe Monday or Tuesday, and just compare notes and see what, you know, if there's anything glaring that stands out that says, hey, this is your next step. But I didn't see anything like that in her attachments that she sent over.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you can ask her if she has any suggestions. But yeah, okay, good. That's great. You're going to meet with Chase.
If I remember right, she really wanted to assign a priority to these goals. You know, it's hard to create a goal without a deadline and a time frame. And in order to create those goals, and we need to have them prioritized, you know, 1 through 10 or whatever. And we really want to have, as a team, I'm not speaking for everybody, but I kind of am. We really want to have a lot of feedback and a lot of kind of landowner interaction and member interaction with that process. And we just need to define how best to do that. It'd be great to get everybody in one big room and hash it out, but this is not realistic. So I want to find some way to make sure everybody has a chance to suggest some feedback to us, you know, get their voices heard, and then use that in our priority planning. But what that looks like, I'm not quite sure yet.
Okay.
Anybody else, Gary or Lynn or Chase, you guys see it differently or?
I think you summed that up accurately based on what I think they were telling us in the meeting.
How about you, Lynn? I know you were really sick, but I saw that you attended, so I appreciate you being on.
Well, the problem I had with the meeting was that I could not get into it. The host would not let me in verbally, okay? So I was basically akin to a visitor. Secondly, the audio systems that everybody used were not very good. So what you really got was a sort of a scrambled and less than articulate dialogue. And I don't know why it worked that way. And I don't know that somebody shouldn't have said, okay, we're not, you know, there should be some read on that process. But anyway, a lot of the things I had sent to Terry regarding the issues in question showed up on that response. Okay, the critical issues that I had, she was very good to bring all those up, but then again, I didn't get to explore or expand on them. So I was very dissatisfied with that process. I tried maybe 4 times to get in and couldn't access the conversation.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I apologize for that too, because we, on our end, we could see that you would come in and then you would, and then it looked like you got it disconnected and then you would come back in. And I think part of the problem is we had to talk into the microphones. And I think that some of us, like me, put their mouth right up against the microphone. It might've been jumbly. And then I know there was some, a couple of times where we'd be having a dialogue and we would notice, you know, shoot, we're not talking into the microphone.
But in my case, Rob, basically I got a response said the host will not let you in. So that was the response I had through the entire, I tried about four times to access the meeting to comment and to be a participant, but that became the controlling dialogue. So I don't know why that happened, but however it was, it should have been corrected.
Yeah, if you, and this is really for any board member too, but if you ever run into that, I know we've had problems with Zoom. I don't think in my other life, we use Teams and we've had issues with that platform too. But if we have issues, by all means, feel free to call or text or get a hold of me and Chase directly too, because I want to make sure everybody has chances to participate in this going forward. And I know it's really tough doing it virtually, but yeah, I'm sorry about that, Lynn. That was not the intention, I can assure you that.
I think Carolyn, if I recall, Carolyn Lobdell was also on the meeting in the same position that I was, as a listener, not a participant.
Jeff, are you still there? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I think you were on for a little while also, weren't you, Jeff Winker?
Yeah, I was.
Were you able to hear it, or was it pretty garbled and messed up?
No, it was difficult, but it was, you know, it was what it was.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm sorry about that. I thought we had it from where we were sitting in person. I thought it went pretty well, but I could definitely see your perspective, Lynn, on not being able to get in and everything. I could see how that'd be a real pain in the butt. So apologize for that. Okay, so the only thing left on the agenda in the sevens, I guess, 7I for legal, we were going to talk about something. Chase, do you remember what that was? It was just brief, but I don't remember what it was.
I can't remember. I think there was some update to the subpoena compliance, but without Jeff Condon here. We just kind of left it alone.
That's what it was, yeah. We had intended for Jeff, if he was going to participate, to update us on the subpoena compliance, but he's obviously not in attendance, so we don't really have a whole lot to update on that.
Rob?
Yes, sir.
Can I address 7G stormwater
Master
plan? Okay. Yeah.
Shoot.
One of the issues that I've looked at and have tried to make the board receptive to was the relationship between the city, its amount of stormwater, and the SDIC. So the city has significant portions of their land inside the city that eventually drains into our system, whether it's into the lakes at the mobile home park, whether it's into the piping systems on Columbia Way, or whether it's the airport as proposed with 300 acres of impervious surface. And I think that we have to understand that the city is not our partner. Okay, and until we come to the conclusion that the city is a responsive agency inside this program, i.e. dollars and cents, that the SDIC is basically going to be their server. And our servitude is gallons and electrical bills and management of functions. So it comes a time when this board needs to describe a relationship with the city and propose a relationship with the city. Then there has been a drafted intergovernmental agreement that we actually have a protection of some of our costs and operations with the city. So even though they provide a master plan, which they have been, I don't know how many, I think this is the third year that the master plan has been out there in suspension. It's like we don't exist. I know that you met with the city, and I will guarantee you, almost guarantee you, that they never said how much could we contribute. Okay, their mentality is they're the municipality, and therefore Our job is to take care of the responsibilities. And I think it's time for the SDIC to step up and say, okay, here is our participation and here's your participation, and we need to go forward.
Yeah, and I appreciate that perspective too, Lennon, and sharing that with me and with everybody else too. I know that's been your perception for as long as I've been involved, and you've stayed consistent with it. And I can't say that I, you know, really disagree with a lot that you're saying or agree, but I do know that one of the things that's going through my brain is with this SCAPHU Stormwater Master Plan is that I'm really excited to see what they come up with their expanded drainage analysis. I'm really excited to see what truly, when they include their infrastructure in this mapping, what that truly does to the IDA, because since I've been involved, which hasn't been very long, you know, the city's stance is that all of their stormwater is contained on site. The city's stance is that they have infrastructure in place. And then, you know, our stance is that water flows downhill and we're at the bottom. And so I think as a next step, we really need to see what that infrastructure being updated into the West model, see what that does. And I think that, I don't know if it'll fix anything, but it'll definitely give me at least a little more tools to go back into the city and have some more conversations with them about it.
Well, Rob, I agree. The sad thing is that the master plan has been this nebulae, or in the nebulae, in the sense that, we're doing it. And I don't recall very many times that the engineers for the master plan have come to the SDIC and said, what are your issues? They basically, they sort of talked to us at the first time and told us they were going to do the analysis. And that was the last time they've talked to us, and everything subsequent to that has always been, well, you guys don't have any place in this dialogue. Why do you think you're important?
Right. Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think that's why I was actually kind of surprised during our SWOT analysis to see how many times, I know that, I'll be honest, it was one of my goals that I submitted to Terry, but I don't think I was alone. There was a bunch of feedback that she received and with as far as goals or opportunities, I guess, is what she categorized it. And one of the opportunities was to, that everybody was interested in, was improving that relationship. And I think it's just for mainly that reason. We just want to be a seat at the table. We want to be included in that conversation and in the planning. I think as part of this, go ahead.
Well, one of the things we have is an extreme amount of leverage, and our leverage pertains to the airport, okay? We have never contractually agreed with the city to take the water from the airport, number one. Number two, the state of Oregon's regulation is you don't compile stormwater and then send it out of an orifice, okay? The stormwater that you can send on the downhill side of the property is directly related to the annual downhill flow. So they're taking 300 and some acres, putting it into a stormwater collection, and then piping it into our system. And as long as we don't reject that, we don't have any leverage, okay? That is our leverage. That's our political, that's our social, that's our economic leverage, because that whole process can't occur without the process, number one. And number two, according to the FAA, that's an illegal impoundment of water at a close proximity to an airport regarding bird strikes. There's an FAA code that's very specific about that. So the things that we are operating with on behalf of the city, and the city is planning to use on our behalf, seems to me to be a bit ludicrous when we don't stand up and say, this is our ground to cover.
Sure. Yep. No, I can see your, I can definitely see and appreciate a lot of what you've said, Lynn. I don't really have a lot of, at least experience or knowledge on how to counter it. I just know that there's some things that definitely need to be explored. And I'm kind of curious with the impoundment side of things. It's definitely something I've been looking into in my spare time too, because on the Cal Portland side of things, just being candid, you know, we have ponds. I don't think that's any secret. And a lot of those, you know, there's a lot of conversations with those ponds, and we don't have, you know, I don't really know how to say it any other way, but you know, we don't discharge either. And so It's hard. I don't know if the airport takes that stance with their stormwater plan. If the city feels that way, if they feel like, you know, the water can go into these stormwater ponds and then they naturally just, they go into the groundwater and they, you know, become part of the system. But I know that it's, we're definitely between a rock and a hard place with the city at this point. And because we're, you know, we're on one side and they're on the other, and we need to find ways to build that bridge. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Rob.
That's one of the top, at least one of, I know it's not just mine, it's all of ours, but that's definitely, I think, I'm hoping the SWOT analysis gives us the tools that we need to maybe, you know, if that's goal number one, two, or three, that's something that needs to, we really need to tackle. So I'd love to be at the table in a lot of their planning meetings. And I'd love to be included in their thought process, if nothing else.
Well, so, like I said, that's why my discuss is with their 3-year process of the stormwater analysis. They have, and not having us participate. Okay, those two factors to me, a sign that the city is not a willing participant. You know, they collect stormwater fees from a significant portion of properties that drain into our system. Does that mean they're going to share those fees? Obviously not. They've got a great contentment. And I understand they've got $300,000 or $400,000 of collected stormwater fees that they're going to use for X, Y, or Z purpose, but it's never been shared with us.
Nope, understood. I appreciate you speaking up on that too. Is there anything else under SCAPU Stormwater Master Plan or anything in the sevens we want to go over tonight? Anybody have anything else? Or any public comment? Okay, well, let's jump into item number 8. We do have, as Chase mentioned, some upcoming meetings. We've got our special board of directors meeting on December 14th. That's next Wednesday, right? Next Wednesday. Yes, next Wednesday. And that's specifically just to go over our employee evaluation. So we'll, correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, but we'll open that up. We'll jump into executive session. We'll do our evaluation and then we'll be done. So it's going to be pretty straightforward. And then 8B, we have our monthly board of directors meeting on January 12th. And then we've also, I know there's not a lot of folks from the public on the line, but if you could share with those that you come into contact with, we've got our annual meeting of the members rescheduled back for February. It's going to be February 13th, 6 to 9, SCAPU City Council Chambers. If anybody has any, you know, comments, questions, concerns, Chase or I, and you know, we're always available to answer those, but that's the date that we're shooting for. The city's kind enough to allow us to use council chambers again, and they've got our name on the list. So that's what we're talking about.
I just like to add that that's because our bylaws say that our annual meeting should be in February.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What time was that at?
6 to 9. Well, I guess it'd be, is it 6 to 9, Chase? It's always 6 to 9. It seems like that was
usually
six to nine. Yeah, 6 to 9, Jeff.
On the 13th.
On the 13th, yeah.
Yes. I already put it up on the website too.
Chase wanted to do it on the 14th. We had to talk him off the ledge to save his marriage. So very good. Okay. So I took a bunch of notes, Karen, I know you've got stuff going on today, but I will, I'm going to type all these up, and then, maybe if you have some, if you want to type yours up or scan them and send them over to, send them to Chase, we can compare those and get the minutes uploaded.
I might be able to do that tomorrow. Using Abby Kessie's computer. We do need to review our action items really quickly, though, I think.
Sure.
So Amanda's getting contacted about doing the state pool transfer, correct?
Yep.
And Rob reminds all board members to review the wage analysis information that he sent by email before our meeting on December 14th.
And in that same breath, we really need to have the evaluations filled out what do we discuss? Can we want them filled out by Monday and submitted and emailed by Monday so that we could compile
them? I'm so glad you mentioned that. So what would need to happen is that Chase would need to get clean copy to everybody. Yes, and if we know that the time turnaround is pretty quick, right? But I think we would need to get that back by Monday. Rob, I'll help you compile those.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Who should we send them to? Is it Rob or Karen?
Either one.
Yeah, let's send them, if you don't mind, let's send them to, can you send them to both of us? And that way we both have the copies and we can, just in case something gets lost in translation.
Sure.
Thank you. And what's the best way to get them to everybody? Is email efficient enough if we have, if Chase has the draft cleaned up and ready for distribution by tomorrow? Could we email those, or do you want them to drop off, or what's the best way to get them to you?
I'm remembering now that this was kind of part of the wonkiness of it last year, is that we some of the people printed them off, filled them out, and then dropped them off at my house, and others of them scanned them in and sent them via email.
Okay.
So I don't know what you want done here or what people are wanting to do.
Let's start with Lynn. Lynn, do you have the ability to get the email and then fill it out and scan it back to somebody's email? Or is it better for you to drop them off?
No, I can email cycle. That's no problem.
Okay. How about you, Gary?
I can email as well.
Yeah, good. Okay. So we'll just say that that's what we're going to do. So just whatever you need to do, print them, scan, fill them out, scan them back, and email to Rob and to me by the end of Monday.
That's to Abby.
Not to Abby. Somebody needs to tell Amanda that.
Yeah, I'll text her tonight and let her know. She's okay. Kind of aware that that was on the table, so I'll make sure she knows the deadlines.
So we just need, do you have time to get us a clean copy tomorrow, Chase?
Yes, it's on top of my priority. I'll actually probably do it tonight.
Okay. Great. And that should take care of that. And then Rob and I can compile that. This is just for Chase. Everybody understands that, right? We're just doing the board does the GM's evaluation, and then the GM does the other employees' evaluations. So it's just for the GM that we're doing.
Yes.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So yeah, we'll compile on Tuesday, Rob, and then we should be ready to roll on Wednesday.
That sounds great. I appreciate you doing that. Let me help you with it.
Or vice versa. Another action item is that I need to ask Harlow about our you can say property manager about the walkthroughs.
Yep.
And specifically about smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. And I was trying to star the things that needed action. Chase, did you see anything else that needs action? I guess Chase and Rob are going to meet to talk about what's going to happen next with the strategic planning process. That would be an action. Anything else?
That's all I have on my list. You actually had two more than I did, so thank you.
Yeah, I just have Rob and Chase meet next week about SWAT.
I didn't get very good notes about when you were talking about Sophie from Cadman. Did you get all that, Rob?
Yep. Yeah, I got a lot of notes on the manager's report.
Okay. I got my version of events, but let's hope it's helpful.
I take really good detailed notes. My problem is just reading them after I write them. Looks like chicken scratch.
I think mine are so good. And then I go back and I'm like, what did I mean? Okay. So.
All right. And we reviewed the upcoming meetings. We reviewed the action items. So it is 7:16. I know we covered a lot today, so I'm going to give one more chance for any public comment before we adjourn. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Okay. Well, everybody in attendance, thank you for attending. We appreciate you being here. Board, I always appreciate all of you folks. And Chase, great job. We will talk to everybody soon. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you, Chase.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.